All right, let's go into the message of this morning. So much for church life, and we appreciate it, we enjoy it, but life goes on. You can turn in your Bibles to Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, says this, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." And we're going to use this passage for a springboard for a message this morning. And I've titled the message, "Our Unchanging God." We serve a God that is unchanging. And I don't know if that strikes you as anything significant, but it does me. There is so much in this life that changes. Right now we have the changing seasons. It is going on. We're changing into springtime. We're no longer in winter. And spring will give place to summer, Lord willing. And then summer to fall and back to winter again. It's just life. And it's so much a part of us that we don't even hardly think about it anymore other than the next season. But time moves on, changing seasons. Another thing that we think about as I thought about a world of change that we live in. This morning I went out and started a vehicle and drove here. Yeah, we live in a world of change. I didn't get a horse and drive a horse and buggy to church. Saw one go past our place this morning. No. We live in a world of change that things change about us. Now we have automobiles and we enjoy the convenience of travel that it gives to us, but it's change. Think about our age, you know. I have a birthday this week. Change. Yeah, it comes and it happens. We go from infant, toddler, young children going to school, youth, adults, and finally we find ourselves in the elderly. It just happens. We live in a world of change. Well, I read this list recently of 11 things that will never change. And I read this list and I said, this is not from a Christian's perspective by any means. But I found it interesting as I read it because there's all of us are affected by change. And I'm just going to read that list really, really quickly. You're accountable to someone is number one. Number two, you're not going to live forever. Number three, you can't please everyone. Number four, you'll never catch up to the Joneses. Number five, holding that grudge is never going to have the effect you're hoping for. Number six, you can't control what someone else thinks. Number seven, yesterday is over, you can't get it back. Number eight, the world. Nope, you can't change it. Number nine, where you came from. Number 10, nothing is ever really private anymore. And number 11, you can't get back what you've lost. I found that list interesting. Because there's a lot of truth in that. You just can't change it. You can make a difference in it, but you can't change it. Things in this list are things that we wish we could change. And we can influence them to a certain extent. But we can only influence change in this world. The world keeps going on. Well, in our decrees for to keep, Article 2, of the existence and nature of God, we say this. We believe that there is but one God, eternal, infinite, perfect, and unchangeable, who exists and reveals himself in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now you think about that verse we read in Malachi 3, verse 6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Unchanging God. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so we want to go into that and think about our unchanging God. Who he is and how that affects us. Well, he's an eternal God. The first one I want to think about. God is eternal. God was God in eternity past. And I want to just stretch our minds with that thought. eternity is without time limits. It's just, he was there. Eternity past. He is an eternal God in eternity past. Even before the creation, before time was ever created, there was God. Forever in the past, there was God. He is the same God of today, present. Presently, he is God of today. He controls everything. He sees all things. He knows all things. That's God. And God is God in eternity future. He has always been, he is today, and he always will be. He's eternal. And he is in heaven. And we can see him there. If we make choices in light of that. So I thought of our article there in our decrees. It also says he's perfect and infinite. And so we're only touching, as we think about the unchangeableness of God, we're only touching one aspect, and we're going to try to focus in on that one aspect. And even that, I don't know if I did justice to it. But God is also perfect. And what does perfect mean? It can't be improved upon. We know that's God. He's infinite. What does that word mean? He's limitless. There is no limit to God and to what he can do. Now, when I think about God and who he is, what he has done, his unchangeableness. Every prophecy, every promise he has said. When we read his promises in Scripture, when we read his truths in Scripture, they have been fulfilled in the past. Or maybe they're being fulfilled today, presently. And if there's any future promises, they will be fulfilled. We can rest in that. Because that's God. He's unchanging. They're not changing any. The promises are not changing. We can rest in them. And we can rest in God's word because we say God's word is truth. And it's God's truth to us. And so we say, we know it's God's unchanging word. And God's unchanging word will be fulfilled because God doesn't change and he doesn't change his plan. We make plans today, and plans we make today are often fluid. We can move them. We often have to move them. We don't like to. Maybe you do, and I don't, but I don't like to. When you make plans, I like to keep them. But sometimes circumstances come in, and we need to change them. Well, God doesn't need to change his plan. How could he do that? Well, that's part of the reason why his plan is perfect. It doesn't need change, and it's because God is all-knowing. He knew everything when he made his plans. And today that's oftentimes why we aren't able to keep our plans. It's because we don't know everything. Sometimes our sickness sets in. We didn't know it was coming, but it's there. Maybe it's a conflict of schedule. We forgot about it. We had to change plans. But he knew it. He didn't need to change because he knows all things and he knows all future things. He knows exactly how things are going to happen in the future. And so his plan never needs updated. It is a perfect plan. What is that plan? And we know that plan was for man to live on this earth and to have a relationship with God. And in the Garden of Eden that was marred. And God knew that. He knew man was going to choose wrong in the Garden of Eden. And it wasn't an afterthought when he decided to send his son. He knew that in the future. But he did it. And we have the plan of salvation shows forth through that. It's salvation through faith in Jesus. It was a plan that didn't need to be improved upon. It needs faith from you and I to accept it. It is a plan that is there past, and it's still there present. And when we get to heaven, it'll be there for us. Because the plan's not changing. Are we thankful today that we serve a God that is an unchanging God, and that we can rest in the truth that He has shared with us through His Scripture? And no, He won't change it. You may say, well, that's so elementary thoughts up to this point. And it is. We know God. We've heard this from little up. But my challenge that comes to me is, if I know this is truth, and I know this God is an unchanging God, and I know that my Bible says that I'm going to be judged out of the things of this book and above the things that I do in life. And I read in this book the truth that we need to give our lives over to Jesus. That it's only through Jesus that I can be saved from my sins. And it's only through His shed blood that I can have the promise of heaven. Why is it so easy to live life and feel like the truth can be looked around? I have three things for the rest of the message here. Three things God has placed that will never, never change. And they're serious thoughts to ponder on. As we think about our unchanging God, a God that was in eternity past and is in the present and is in the future. He knows all things. He sees all things. His power is limitless. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Let's just read verse 23. That's a verse I want to highlight on as we ponder these some things that will never change. Truths from the Scripture. Romans 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And in an unchanging aspect of who God is and what He has said, that the wages of sin is death. They never increase, and it never decreases. It never has inflation or deflation. Whereas wages today change. After COVID, I had some pay raises, I'm sure all of you had. It never changes with God. The wages of sin is death. In the Garden of Eden, the serpent, the Satan, deceived Eve with the words, "You shall not surely die." He planted that seed of doubt that you won't die. He was wrong. It was a lie. Sin brought spiritual death and ultimately physical death. Adam and Eve, first of all, had spiritual death, and they didn't fall over dead as it did Ananias and Sapphira when they lied to the Holy Spirit. But they were driven out of the Garden of Eden. And we know that in the Garden of Eden was a lot of different trees. And they could eat of all those trees of the garden except for one. And as they were driven out of that Garden of Eden, they no longer had access to the tree of life. And that tree of life would have gave them life that they could live forever. But they were denied that. As sin came into the picture, God drove them out of that Garden of Eden. And so sin brought spiritual death, but ultimately it brought physical death because it could no longer access that tree of life. And so, as he no longer had access to it, he started the physical death. And today, death is still a reality for each and every one of us. We might as well face it. It comes to the young, it comes to the old. Romans chapter 5, let's just turn back one chapter. I'd like to read verse 12 through 15. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, we know who that was Adam, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after similitude of Adam's transgression, who is a figure of him that is to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God, and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. We have the provision for sin in this passage as well. But death is still reality for each and every one of us. And let's ponder that as we go through life. When you see a graveyard, that's where we're going to end up unless if the Lord comes back. Rotting away flesh. Flesh returning to the earth. Dust to dust. And so every cemetery we see, every funeral should bring us to the stark reality. We've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. We've all been denied the access to this tree of life that was in the Garden of Eden. Physically, we're denied access to it. We won't have access to it until we get to heaven. That tree of life is in heaven. Revelation 22, verse 2, we can find the verse that says, on either side of the river was there the tree of life. It's there. We don't even have to cross a river to get to it. The tree of life is there, and we can have access to it. Well, we know spiritually, we died spiritually, but we can have life spiritually. Here on this earth, that's what we can have here. We can have spiritual life here. The Holy Spirit within us. But we're dead unless if we open our hearts to that. Because when we're born, we have that sin nature that is in every one of us. And so that sin nature, we're dead spiritually. But when we come to the age of accountability and we give our heart to the Lord, we become alive spiritually. And so it never changes all through life. These thoughts we're sharing in number one, that the wages of sin is death. We are doomed to die spiritually unless we avail ourselves to the spiritual provisions that Jesus made at Calvary for us. Jesus paid the price for our sins that we can have in spiritual life. Apart from Jesus, and his provision for our sins, we are doomed for hell. Because the wages of sin is death. So the serious part as we ponder this is, we can't hide sin and make it to heaven. You can't hide it. Because remember, we said God is all-knowing. He knows all things. He's all-powerful. And he's lived from eternity past to eternity future. He's not going away. And so it's foolish for us to think that somehow that we can bypass this truth in the unchanging God, that the wages of sin is death, and think we can hide it from him. It's foolishness. Because God is everywhere. He knows all things. And his power is limitless. And so we can't overpower him, and we can't hide from him. Let's go to the second part of our unchanging God. Turn in your Bibles to Galatians 6. Let's go look at another one, thing that will never, never change. Sorry about that, got the wrong passage here. Galatians 6, verse 7 and 8. What I'm looking for. Verse 7, Galatians 6, 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Period. Can't get around it. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. You can't change us. This will never change all through life. It's not going to change. What you sow, you're going to reap it. You farmers here, if you plant corn this spring, you're going to get corn. You plant soybeans, you're going to get soybeans. I have yet to see plant a soybean seed and a stalk of corn comes up from it. This law that God has placed in at the creation of the world, that the seed is within itself in the natural world, is still there. Though man has changed genetics in it, it is still God's law is in effect. You plant corn, you get corn. The law of sowing and reaping will never change. In the spiritual life, the same is true. So what it's talking about here in Galatians 6 is talking about in our lives, in our daily lives, not into the physical, not into the corn, but we're talking about daily lives. What you sow in your life, what you plant in your life, is going to take root. It's impossible to sow sin and to reap blessing. And especially, thinking you may get some short-term thrill out of it. But when you look at the long term, there is no blessing in it. It's bondage in this life. The pleasures of sin for a season, the Bible talks about. It's but a season. And you can't sow that in this natural life and expect to make it to the blessings of heaven. It'll never make it. Ponder verse 8 of this passage. We receive a harvest from what we sow. That's where the harvest is going to come from. It's what we do in our own lives. We can't get to heaven off of somebody else's fruit that they planted in their life. It's each of us personally in our own lives. We reap in accordance to what we personally sow, not what others sow. As I ponder this, I've met people that felt like they were given an unfair in this law of sowing and reaping. Life is just so hard. to live a life that I need to. It's so hard. Life is unfair to me. I'm reaping more than what I should have. Well, you're not going to get a different harvest unless if you stop sowing seeds of self-pity and you start planting good seeds in your life. Or only reap what we're sowing. You can't get around it. Every day along life's way, we are sowing, planting seeds. It's going to bring forth fruit. Fruit that will affect our outcome in life, where we will spend eternity. What will my harvest be? What will your harvest be? The law of sowing and reaping will never change, and that is a serious thought to think about. What we sow in this life takes root and ultimately determines our destiny. We can't change it. For he that soweth to his flesh, what I want, what's within my heart, shall of the flesh reap corruption. We can't expect to sow to the flesh and somehow live a good life. No, it doesn't work that way. We need to be sowing to the Spirit. Let the Spirit work in our lives. Spirit fruit come out in our lives, and then we can reap life everlasting. God help us to that end. Third one I have. What's things that will never change from our unchanging God? Romans chapter 5. Let's go back to that again. We were at Romans 4. Let's go back to Romans chapter 5. Our first point was from Romans 6. Romans chapter 5. Verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's unchanging. I don't care how much of a sinner you are. God doesn't care. He doesn't care what you did. He just holds out his love. God loves us while we were sinners. But he doesn't love our sin. He loves us. And so the third point here I've titled, God's love will never change. No matter what you do, an unchanging God, his love will never change. It's there for you and I. Even while we're yet sinners, while we were in our sin, Christ died for us so we can be clean and be washed from our sins. God's love is there, just calling us daily, come to him. And when we fall into sin or our choices lead us into sin, he's calling us to come back to him. God's love calls us to forsake sin, not live in it. His love is there calling us to forsake sin and to follow him. But the choice is ours. It's our choice. John 15, verse 13 says, greater love hath no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends. And when we view Jesus and the provision he made for our sins, he was in love. He went to the cross and died for you and I, so we can have our sins washed away. It's an unchanging fact in our unchanging God. His love is there. He's reaching out to us. Grace delivers God's unchanging love to those who believe and make Jesus part of their daily lives. And Ephesians 2 verse 8 says this, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." It's faith in Jesus' power, the power of Jesus' blood to save us. It's God's gift to us. It's His love that He's handing out to us. It'll never change. So how many of you are unchanging God, His love for us, the laws He put in place, the laws of sowing and reaping, the laws that the wages of sin is death and we're a dying people, and knowing God, our unchanging God, that the promises of the past have been fulfilled and are being fulfilled and will be fulfilled in the future. When we think of our unchanging God, it should call us today to walk circumspectly, to walk true to God, to walk closer to God. Because there is no other way. God is still God. He won't change. He will never change. And He holds out salvation. In His love, He holds out salvation to us. May God, as we pondered these few thoughts this morning, and we pondered one aspect of God and His unchangeableness, and we viewed it in light of who God is, may we ponder life seriously. Because we can try to change these facts, but they are unchangeable. And we can only change maybe a little bit of influence on them, but they're still facts of God's law, and we can't change them. May God help us as we live that out in our daily lives. Let's kneel for prayer.